Today on The King is Coming.
While Jesus is hanging on the cross, he's very aware Judas has betrayed me. Peter has denied me. The disciples have forsaken me except for John and a few women. And yet God wants to say, hey, I'm still God. I'm still on the throne. I'm still in charge. I can overrule the problems of life, the problems of the world, the problems of your family, the problem you're struggling with right now. Hello, this is Ed Heinsohn. Well, I'm going to talk to you for the next few weeks about overcoming life's toughest problems. You come through a tough time in your life, maybe a time of discouragement or fear or failure or worry or anger and confusion or whatever, and you're wondering, dear Lord, what happened to me? I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but my life is all upside down. Where can I find real help for the future? Well, that help is in the Word of God. And I want to introduce you to something very special, the Care and Counsel Bible that I'll be using in these next 4 weeks as we dig into some issues about overcoming life's toughest problems. If you look in the topical index in the front of the Bible, you'll see over 100 topics that start with abortion and abuse and work their way alphabetically through work and worry and include all kinds of things that people struggle with in their personal lives. This is the finest tool ever made to help believers come face to face with what does the Word of God say about the problem I'm struggling with? And then the articles and the notes are set in the exact place where the Scripture deals with these things. You see, God didn't just save you and take you right to heaven. He leaves you here on earth because he has a job to do in your life, and he wants you and I to make a difference in the world in which we're living in the meantime. And the information in this Bible can help you do it. So get your Bible open, and we'll come right to the Scripture today, and we're going to use the Care and Counsel Bible and its notes to help us along the way.
Some of the most amazing prophecies in all of Scripture have to do with the great end times battles. The Battle of Gog and Magog, the Battle of Armageddon, and the final revolt after the millennial reign. In his three-part series, Great End Times Wars, Dr. Heinsohn will give insight into these three battles and dig into what the Bible has to say about these great wars to come. To get your copy, Great End Times Wars, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now.
Hello, I'm Ed Heinsohn. We've been looking at overcoming life's toughest problems now for the last 4 weeks, looking at some of the toughest problems people face in life, anger and bitterness and all the frustrations of worry and confusion in our lives, etc. And today we're going to tackle the topic of depression. But before we get started, I want to remind you that we're focusing our attention on the notes and the material in the Care and Counsel Bible. I had the privilege of serving as the general editor of this product a number of years ago, along with Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Jared Pingleton. We've prepared a study Bible where every single note deals with personal issues that people are facing. They're called soul notes. How can I find healing for my soul, my inner struggles, my inner being? Over 100 Christian counselors contributed to this. There are over 100 articles that are two-page articles dealing with the issues we're talking about. We'll look at one of those today. In addition to that, other contributors like Josh McDowell, Chuck Swindoll, men of God that have been speaking to the people of God for a lifetime can help walk you through how to handle life's toughest problems. Over 100 of these listed in the topical index in the front of the Bible. And I want to encourage you, if you didn't get one of these, make sure you order one right now, and we'll be glad to send it to you. Also, if you missed some of the other programs in the series, order the video series on DVD, Overcoming Life's Toughest Problems. You can also get it on CD if you need to, so that you can listen to it in any setting at all. But I want to help you with the challenges of life that believers face every single day. Yes, we understand. Ultimately, Jesus is coming again, coming to take us to heaven. But in the meantime, we've got a life to live here below in a fallen world full of depraved people and full of incredible problems and challenges and difficulties. And sometimes those challenges stretch even believers to the point of wanting to give up. So I want to talk to you today about how to deal with the problem of depression. Almost everybody has some depression at some time in their life, but when people become severely depressed, they're ready to give up on life. They lose all hope. They feel like there's no answer to my problems. And this study Bible reminds us that even in the depth of our problems, God is there. So I want to remind you, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 130, verse 1. 130, verse 1. Notice what it says. Out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? God, if you mark down all the problems in my life, there's no way I could stand before you. I'm out of resources. I'm ready to give up. I'm overwhelmed by the problems and pressures of life, etc. I'm in the valley of depression. Well, if you get the Care and Counsel Bible, the very next page, page 780, has a two-page article by Dr. Michael Lyles, one of the outstanding Christian counselors of our day. And it's entitled, The Valley of Depression. And he says, at times everybody feels sad, down, blue. Solomon even said there's a time to weep and a time to mourn in Ecclesiastes. But depression, however, is a deeper level of emotional turmoil that can affect different people in different ways. According to research, nearly one in five people will experience significant and persistent levels of depression at times in their life. They'll miss work. They'll fail at a major task. In some cases, they'll even have a heart attack or a stroke because they've let depression drive them into the valley of depression. And then he refers to two examples, and we're going to look at both of those examples today. King David and the prophet Elijah. Let's start with King David. Dr. Lyles points out Psalm 102, where David is expressing his frustrations to God. David was a man after God's own heart. He was the one that God had chosen to be the king. But much of his life, he's running from Saul, who's trying to kill him. He spends 10 years hiding in the desert, running from place to place, even as king later deals with family problems and difficulties that drive him to the point of despair. Notice what he says in Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me, and in that day I will call. Answer me speedily. Why? Because he's going to go on to say, everything is going wrong in my life. My heart is stricken in verse 4. I don't even remember to eat my bread. The sound of my groaning overwhelms everything in my life. My bones cling to my skin. I'm losing weight. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness, an owl in the desert, etc. In other words, I feel helpless. God, where are you when I need you the most? David, who wrote Psalm 23, God is with me, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me, etc. Now in Psalm 102, he's saying, man, I've had it. I am so alone. I'm so hungry. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I feel abandoned. God, I need you, and I need your help. And many times, God allows us to come to the point where we come to the end of ourselves because we're pretty good at trying to fix our own lives a lot of times. Like, I can handle this. I can deal with this. We want to play tough guy, etc. The truth is, you cannot handle it, and you're not handling it right now. You're depressed and disturbed and frustrated. And God is calling out to you to say, hey, it's time to let me fix it and let me help you. Let me deal with the challenge you're facing. Now, there may be physical causes to that depression that need to be dealt with, or medication that may be needed to help balance things out temporarily. But ultimately, what you really need is divine help to make a difference in your life, that God can intervene to help you in your time of need. God intervened in David's life, as we know. But we also have another hero of the faith, the prophet Elijah, who also goes through a time of despair and depression as well. Dr. Lyles refers to this in his article, and he uses the acronym HALT. H for hungry, A for angry, L for lonely, and T for tired. And what he says is, when you are hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, you're in trouble. And that's what happened to David running in the wilderness, and that's what happened to Elijah, that great prophet of God. Now, if you read the story of Elijah, it's a pretty amazing story in Scripture. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 19, that's where the problem begins. Now, if you read chapter 18, things are going great. He confronts King Ahaz, the ungodly king, whose wife Jezebel is encouraging the prophets of Baal to worship a false god, and he calls for that confrontation on Mount Carmel. Assemble the prophets of Baal, build an altar, and call on God, and I'll build an altar to Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Israel, and let the God who answers by fire be God. Well, Baal was the Canaanite storm god, often pictured with a lightning bolt in his hand. Elijah was challenging him at the source of his supposed strength. If Baal's really God, let him throw down the lightning bolt, and I'll call on Jehovah and ask him to do it. Now, you know that story. The prophets of Baal pray all day long and nothing happens. The clear sky, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years at Elijah's request of prayer. And then Elijah calls on God, a simple prayer, basically let him know that you're God, let him know that I'm your man, and send the fire. Boom, the fire of God fell, consumed the altar, consumed the sacrifice, evaporated the water and everything else, and the people fell on their faces and said, Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. I guess so. It scared the living daylights out of everybody. And then he slew the prophets of Baal. Then King Ahaz had to go home and face Jezebel and tell her, it didn't go so well up there, Jezzy. I killed all the prophets of Baal. She gets angry. And she says, then by this time tomorrow, I will kill him. He wasn't afraid of the king. He wasn't afraid of the prophets of Baal, but he was afraid of the old lady. And the Bible says in chapter 19, verse 3, when Elijah saw that, he arose and ran for his life. The prophet of God is running for his life. He is so upset, so disturbed, he even prays that he might die in verse 4. It's enough. Take my life, etc. In other words, I wish I were dead. And then in verse 9, he goes into a cave down in the Sinai wilderness to hide. And there he is, all shrouded up in the cave, hiding. And God speaks to him and asks him a question at the end of verse 9. What are you doing here, Elijah? And you might underline that question. What are you doing here, Elijah? What in the world are you thinking? And Elijah basically says, God, you got to be kidding. The old lady's trying to kill me. I'm hiding. That's what I'm doing. I'm running for my life. And God says, you sound pretty depressed to me. Come on out of the cave. I want to talk to you. And Elijah steps out to the precipice of the cave. And if you know that story, this is the incident where the wind rocks the mountain, a windstorm, and an earthquake shakes the mountain, and the fire of God erupts on the mountain. And the Bible says, but God was not in the wind, He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. Sometimes you and I can be so depressed, you can go through a traumatic experience and you're like, I don't care. It doesn't even move me. Or God can be answering prayer for somebody else and you don't get it because of your own self-centered focus on your own depression and your own problems and your own difficulties, etc. And in all of that, there was no message from God. And then the Bible says in verse 12, then after all of that, there was a still small voice, the voice of conviction, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice in his conscience. Elijah,
yeah.
What are you doing here? God wipes away all the excuses. And God says to him, I want you to shake off the depression, get out of the cave, go back to Israel, and I want you to anoint three people who are going to change the course of history. He tells him, go, verse 15, and anoint Hazael, the king of Syria. Why? Because his army will eventually eliminate Ahab. And anoint Jehu to be the king over Israel. He's the guy that will eventually eliminate Jezebel. You're all worried about them? I can take care of them anytime I want to. I can use a king of a foreign country to get rid of one, and a wild man out of control, the chariot driver, who's going to execute Jezebel. And then thirdly, I want you to go find Elisha and anoint him to be the next prophet to follow you, your disciple. He leaves the cave, and the first person he goes to is, he goes to find Elisha. Before he tries to deal with anything else, he figures, I better get the replacement. And he throws the mantle on Elisha, and Elisha follows him. And by the time they're done, they've trained 50 prophets in every town. And Elijah, who thought, I'm alone, it's all me. And nobody else. God had to teach him, no, there are plenty of people that I can use to carry my message, but I can't use you as long as you're depressed. As long as you're hiding in the cave, you're not changing anybody's life. It's time to shake it off, get back to action, etc. And you have here in the Care and Counsel Bible on page 464, a whole personality profile on Elijah and the darkness of depression and how to deal with it, etc. And then on page 465, you have a soul note on the still small voice of conviction, and then another personality profile that deals with Elijah and Elisha. That in each of these cases, God is teaching us through the scripture. The notes are not the word of God. They're simply there to help you understand the word of God, how to apply the word of God to our own lives when we're depressed, when we're discouraged, when we don't like the way things are going, when we're down in the dumps. God wants to say, hey, I'm still God. I'm still on the throne. I'm still in charge. I can overrule the problems of life, the problems of the world, the problems of your family, the problem you're struggling with right now. And then again, if you look at the annotated index in the front of all the notes, the note on worry in that annotation listing will refer to Romans chapter 8 and take you there as well. So let's take our Bible and let's turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Many of you are familiar with that passage. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he comes down to the end of that 8th chapter where he wraps up his entire theological argument throughout the entire book, and he wants to remind us that there are five unanswerable questions that every Christian needs to understand. Five unanswerable questions that reaffirm our faith. Number one, he says in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is really for you, if God is at work in your heart and life, if you know him as your Lord and Savior, God is there. God is for you. The circumstances may seem like they're against you. People may be against you. But God is for you. get a hold of that truth. And then the second question is, will he not also freely give us all things? The next verse says, he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And if he's done that, will he not freely give us all good things? God, who loved you enough to send his son to the cross to die for your sins and pour his wrath out on his own son so that you and I could be saved and set free. If that God is for us, who can be against us? And if he's that much for us, then why can't I trust that he will freely give me everything that I need for this life and the next? Not only for eternity, but for time right now. And then there's a third question. He says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Those that God has chosen and called to himself. Who can lay a charge, a complaint against us when God has chosen us, when God has saved us, when God has redeemed us, when God is for us, when God has given his own son freely for us? Will he not freely give us everything that we need? And then he raises a fourth question. He says in verse 34, who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and who's risen again, who's at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who is it that condemns you? Nobody. Who has a word to really say? Oh, people may condemn you. Society may condemn you. The newspaper may condemn you. But he said, if God is for you, God has chosen to save you, God does not condemn you. God forgives us. God saves and transforms us. And God gives us eternal life. So there is nobody that can condemn. The devil can't condemn you if God is for you. People can't condemn you if Jesus has saved you and you're on your way to heaven. That's the plan and purpose of God in your life. Stop getting depressed about your circumstances. If God is for us, who can be against us? If he gave his son on our behalf, will he not freely give us all good things? Who can bring anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can condemn us? And then number five, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, he's saying none of these things. For it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long, accounted as sheep to the slaughter. But yea, in all these things we are really conquerors. You see, nobody can separate you from the love of Christ. If Jesus Christ has come into your life is co-eternal with the life of God. And you will live as long as God shall live. So therefore, these five unanswerable questions are really answers that affirm our faith and get us out of worry and depression. If God be for us, who can be against us? Will he not freely give us all things? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he that condemns? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The idea is nobody and nothing. And then he ends the chapter with 10 undeniable assurances in verses 37 to 39. Yet he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Underline that in your Bible, more than conquerors. We're not just barely surviving and getting by. We are more than, we're super conquerors. The word for conqueror is built on the word for Nike, the idea of power and conquest, etc. We've got super Nikes because we've got the power of the Holy Spirit of God in us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or future or height or depth or any other thing, any created thing, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you might circle the word love. It's the love of God that gives you the opportunity of salvation. It's the love of God that called David out of the valley of depression. It's the love of God that called Elijah out of the cave of depression. God had much more for David to do that he couldn't see in that moment, and yet it unfolded before him in the rest of his life. God was going to use Elijah to change the course of history. God wasn't through with him, and God's not through with you. If you've got life and you've got breath in your lungs and the Spirit of God in your soul, you have a meaning and a purpose to fulfill, for the purpose of God is at work in your life, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. This is one of the most powerful passages of the assurance of salvation in all of the Bible. If God is for us, nothing can be against us. If God is going to freely give you everything, then trust him for it, etc. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even angels or principalities, demons, fallen powers, or the powers of human resources or government, nor things present, nor things to come in the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Why? They're all created by God. And God is greater because he's the creator. The creator has made all things and made the world in which you and I live. And he understands our fallen nature, that we're sinners who failed his standard of holiness, spent most of our lives running away from God. And God is reaching out to us saying, no, it's time for you to run to me, not away from me. And if you don't know me as your Savior, trust me as your Savior and give your life to me. And if you do know me as your Savior, remember who you are, that I'm God and you're not, that I'm greater than all the circumstances. I can overrule them. I can control them. I can shape them to accomplish my purposes, even through the sufferings and difficulties of your life. You don't need to withdraw into depression. Stop being so self-focused, because you're going to find yourself inadequate. But if you look up and find that I'm adequate, I can meet your need. I can change your life. I can help you. I can use you to my glory. Stop sitting around being depressed and feeling sorry for yourself, and understand who you really are in Christ, a child of the King. Believe it, live like it, act like it, and let the King who's coming change your life and use you to his glory for time and for eternity. God bless you. Put your faith, your confidence, your trust in him.
Are you looking for a resource to assist you in counseling other believers? The Care and Counsel Bible is your answer. With over 116 topics with quick reference guides and theme articles written by experts, ranging from anxiety and depression to sexuality and jealousy, gain the insight you need to offer the message of freedom and hope. To order your copy of the Care and Counsel Bible for a gift of only $69, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com today. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code.